Welcome back. It's your favorite dynamic duo, Charlie and Sarah. Welcome to another episode of Killer Pillow Talk.
Episode 11.
Yes, episode 11.
Lucky 11.
A lucky 11. Lucky number 11.
Legs 11.
I meant for this to be last month for your birthday, but we had a bit of a personal loss on your birthday.
It was a rough day.
It was a very rough day. Our poor little baby doggy Sammy, the dog that I talk about in the ad that we do for Anchor. The
ad for this show, yeah, for Anchor.
She passed away suddenly. Oof. And it's been like a rough couple of weeks. That was January.
January 29th, my birthday.
January 29th. Yeah, Charlie's 30th birthday.
The morning of my 30th birthday.
Yeah, we took her outside and she collapsed in my arms and passed away. Oof. Anyway, it's really rough.
Here I go crying again.
No, don't cry again.
If I'm not crying from that, I'll be crying from the story you're about to tell me.
Yeah, hopefully not. Anyway. So, yeah, that's why we haven't been quite on top of it as much as we should be. Or at least I haven't, because I've been a kind of wreck, and so is Charlie. So, yeah, but we're getting back out there, and it's been a couple weeks now, and it's been rough, but we're moving on, I guess. anyway, enough about that sad stuff.
See, this is why death is not easy for me.
It's not easy for me either.
But we talk about these true crimes where people get murdered. Mm-hmm. They have families.
I know. It is very difficult. I don't like death. I don't like death either. For some reason, I think I have... Well, I mean, I guess when a person dies, it is also hard. But when a pet dies, it's even worse because you're like with them all the time. And you live with them and you take care of them and... You know, we don't have that same connection with a person.
That's what the internet said, yeah. You see them more than you would your family, right? Like, we see our moms and dads and brothers and sisters, but...
Yeah.
Every day, if you have a dog, you see the dog.
We still have our beautiful girl, Susie, over here.
You have to re-record a new ad with Susie.
Susie! So yeah, she's still here.
Susan.
Are you still here?
Are you still here?
yeah, she's laying on our blankets and clothes, because she likes to do that. Anyway.
Alright, that's some sad stuff out of the way. Let's get to this happy stuff.
Yeah,
oh, wait, no.
No.
Oh, wait, no, we don't do a happy podcast.
Oh, wait, we don't do a happy podcast.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, sorry. This is... Now that we've gotten that sad stuff out of the way, let's talk about more sad stuff.
Yeah, let's transition from death to death. I don't know how this is going to work. All right.
Okay, so...
What the hell are you trying to tell me about?
Well, I was going to do this. I did this one because it was your birthday, and this serial killer is named Joel.
I have no connection to the name at all.
Yes, you do.
No.
So, Charlie has a twin brother, if he hasn't mentioned it before.
I do?
Yes.
What if I didn't know?
What if you didn't know? A secret twin. He has a secret twin
that
he doesn't know about.
What if everybody but me knew?
I'm pretty sure you know. You guys talk all the time. They're basically the same person.
We're close.
They're very close. And they look a lot alike. Even though they're not identical twins, they kind of look like identical twins. Although now Joel is kind of buffer than Charlie is because he started working out. And he has a beard.
Should I work out?
If you want to. I mean, I'm not going to force you to work out.
That's good enough for me to not. All right, here we go.
Okay. Anyway. So, yeah. I was like, damn it, I picked the wrong twin. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
You know what? You're not cheering me up.
Sorry.
So you're talking about a guy named Joel.
Okay,
my brother's name is Joel.
His brother's name is Joel.
Did you
this
know
guy's
that?
Name is Joel. And this is the story of Joel Rifkin, also known as Joel the Ripper.
Joel the Ripper.
Joel the Ripper.
What about Jack the Ripper?
I guess this is a play on that.
Oh, there's a play
Joel
on that.
Joel the Ripper. All right. All right, so Joel Rifkin was born on January 20th.
Not to be confused with Jack Tripper. Isn't that the guy from...
That's from Three's Company. Three's Company, yeah. Yeah, that was Three's Company.
Yeah.
And that's John Ritter.
That's John Tripper.
John Ritter.
Oh, John the Ritter, yeah.
Okay. All right, well...
All right, we're having fun.
Anyway.
Hear this?
Yeah, Charlie's drinking heavily. It's like...
Not heavily. You know what I made? It's a... Coffee and tea.
Coffee and tea what?
That's it. It's coffee, vodka.
Oh.
And iced tea.
That's both together?
Yeah, it's as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I was like, why would you mix those two things together? It's terrible. It sounds like a really bad
idea. It's on the internet. I mean, you have anything on the internet.
Ah.
It's not even vetted. Yeah. All right, let's do this story you researched on the internet.
Don't drink coffee and tea together. Apparently, it's
classic. I don't recommend it. They said garnish it with an orange. I'm like, it's not making it better. It's not...
All right, anyway. Uh-huh. So, Joel Rifkin was born on January 20th, 1959.
So, his name is Joel, brother's name, and he shares my dad's birthday?
Yep.
The similarities keep coming.
Yep. And he was born to a pair of unwed college students who...
Nope.
You know...
My parents were well into their 30s when they had us.
I'm not saying that that's anything like you.
Sorry, I was just trying to make similarities.
Okay, well, they were unwed college students and they weren't ready to have kids, so they gave him up for adoption.
My parents were well into their 30s and did not go to and or finish college.
All right, well, that's great. Good for them.
Okay.
So he's born the 20th of January, 1959. The unwed college students give him up for adoption, and then he was adopted by Bernard and Jean Rifkin, a sweet, childless couple from upstate New York, on Valentine's Day when he was 3 weeks old.
Oh, shit. And we're releasing this on Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And wait, where in upstate New York?
I don't know where they're from. Upstate
that
New York.
That thing got aches.
It doesn't say where exactly they were from. They're originally from upstate New York.
All right. Syracuse.
Sure. I didn't write down where they were originally from. I'm not doing backgrounds on the
Albany?
Bernard and Jean Rifkin right now. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they named him Joel David Rifkin.
Three first Jewish names.
Yep, all of the Jewish names. And in 1962, they also adopted another daughter named Jan.
Jan and Joel.
Jan and Joel.
What is this, the Brady Bunch? Okay, we're having fun.
There we go. So in 1965, the family of four moved to East Meadow, Long Island, where Joel entered first grade at Prospect Avenue Elementary School.
Long Island.
Yep.
It's neither long nor an island.
Okay. Sadly, of course, and usually with these types of people that, you know, grow up to do terrible things, he did not have a happy childhood.
He had a happy childhood. Well, didn't. To be honest, to be fair, nobody had a happy childhood on Long Island.
Okay, well, he really didn't. He was kind of like a weird kid, so like he was...
You don't say.
Yeah, he was like... bullied a lot.
No. I find this hard to believe.
Yeah, his classmates nicknamed him the turtle because of the way he always slouched and slowly shuffled when he walked.
That, you know, my brother was bullied a lot, too. And in high school, we used to have our backpacks turtled.
What does that mean?
You remember that?
No.
Oh, that's where people would take your backpack. You would leave or something. You would be gone out of the room. And people would take your backpack. And they would empty out all the contents. Then they'd flip the backpack inside out and put all the contents back in. What? And zip it up. Sometimes with zip ties.
So you couldn't open it?
So you would turtle it. It would be an inside out backpack.
This sounds like a lot of work.
You would have to be in the shitter for a while.
Yeah, sounds like way too much work.
Oh yeah, you'd come back and your backpack would be turtled. Sometimes zip tied shut, you gotta cut it.
That's horrible.
Oh yeah, kids are the worst.
Oh my god.
Kids are mean. Yeah,
kids fucking suck.
Yeah, kids are the worst. Yeah, we didn't like high school.
I didn't like high school either.
Till about halfway through 12th grade.
All right. Well. Oh. Anyway. Yes. So. They always picked on him. And he was picked last in gym class.
Mm-hmm. I know it.
Never got involved in team sports or
know it well.
After school activities. Mm-hmm. He was literally the butt of every joke.
Yeah. Been there. Done that.
And bullies have frequently assaulted him at school by pulling his pants down, stealing his lunch and books, and verbally harassing him.
Farting on him?
Probably.
Yeah, that happened.
I don't have a record of that, but I'm sure that was probably done to him, too.
Yep.
He also didn't thrive academically because he had undiagnosed dyslexia. So he was actually a very smart kid. He had an IQ of 128, but his grades didn't win him any points at home because...
actually, his IQ was 182, but he read it as 128.
No, it says 128.
Oh. You thought it was dyslexic.
I'm trying to make dyslexic jokes.
I'm making a dyslexic joke. Yeah.
Anyway. So he had poor grades, which didn't win him any points at home with his dad, who was a member of the school board in East Meadow. So he was like, he would yell at Joel all the time, frequently demanding, "Why can't you do anything to please me?" So, you know, no pressure or anything.
That's some fresh, huh? 128 is a good IQ, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's a good IQ.
That's like that's like almost Mensa level.
Yeah, he's not dumb. He just like doesn't. You know, do well in school. I
know.
I.
That's like you, right?
Well, I had you're ADHD. I have ADHD, so.
You didn't do well in school.
I didn't do well in school, but especially not with like tests and like that sort of thing.
But you're smart.
Yeah, not like genius level smart, yeah. I would say. So Joel was closer with his mother, Jean, who was.
Imagine that.
I wonder who that sounds like.
Imagine that.
So, yeah, he was closer with Jean, who was oblivious to all this shit that was going on with her son at school. I don't know. And her and Joel bonded over her love of gardening and photography. So those were two things.
Yeah, little green thumb, little photo thumb.
I think that's what they used to do together.
A little green thumb, little flash thumb.
And later on when she's interviewed, she told reporters that she thought he was just a loner and didn't really realize until later what was really going on. So, you know, it's always mom's always the last to know.
Mother's intuition, they're failing her miserably.
Yeah, a lot.
You gotta be real removed to...
Pretty much. Yeah.
To not know.
So when Joel got into high school, things did not improve for him.
You don't say.
Despite not having any good grades, Joel's outward appearance screamed, "Nerd!" he wore glasses with high water pants with white socks. One of the bullies that used to pick on him described him as an abuse unit. He was subtly obnoxious, like his presence annoyed you.
You know, that I keep picturing me and my brother. Our presence annoyed people.
Mm.
Subtly obnoxious might be the title of my memoir.
So Joel then decides, you know, I'll get popular by joining the track team and I'll fit in. That didn't work.
For me, it was the basketball team.
You played basketball?
No, they offered me the manager position.
Oh, that's, of course, the manager position is the one everyone makes fun of.
I had to turn him down.
Because you're like, I'm doing the scores.
I'm literally the point guard because I'm guarding the points, you guys.
Oh, God.
I turned him down. That's an old stand-up joke of mine.
Yeah.
I was literally, I made the team as the point guard.
Didn't win you any
literally
points.
Literally, I was tasked with guarding the points.
And you didn't win any by doing that.
No, I didn't do it, so.
Okay, well, anyway. So his teammates gave him the nickname Lard Ass.
I shouldn't be fair.
Which is really
You know what?
Sweet.
I'm not going to laugh.
Lard
Ass. Hashtag Lard Ass.
They also hid his clothes.
No.
And shoved like his head into a toilet bowl. So,
yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, it's called a swirly.
Yeah. So, Joel is like, I know how I'll get back at them. Invite them over to my house to watch
and
TV and drink beer.
Kill them. Oh.
No.
Oh.
And that didn't go over well either.
A TV and beer is a good activity. Wait, for high school?
Yeah, he invites all his teammates to go over to his house and drink beer and watch TV. But
they're not legal.
I don't think anyone shows up.
They ain't legal.
So.
Oh, no one shows up?
I don't know. That's the worst. I assume it didn't go well because he's still like is not more popular after.
We had a 12th grade. We had a 18th birthday party where we invited everybody over to our house
to drink beer.
No, we were good kids. There was no beer in sight.
Well, that's why no one came, right?
No, everybody came.
Oh, okay.
It was pretty fun.
Well, great. All right, fine. You had people over.
Fun. It was actually pretty good.
All right, I didn't have that.
I remember it as being all right.
I wasn't exactly popular.
We finally got popular halfway through, I'm telling you.
Okay, well, that never happened to me. I don't know what that's like. All right, so after tanking things with the track team, Joel decides, okay, I'm going to join the yearbook staff because...
I was on the yearbook staff.
Nothing says Mr. Popular more than a creepy dude with a camera following you around taking pictures.
I wasn't doing it because I was wanted to be popular. I was doing it because I liked the yearbook.
Wow.
That's way worse.
Wow, that's
now that I'm
bad.
Saying it out loud, that's way worse.
It's pretty bad.
That's so bad.
No one's like, I like the yearbook. Wait. I'm just going to take a bunch of pictures. Sally, will you sign my yearbook?
It's almost as terrible as this drink. Okay.
He didn't get to do it very long, though, because his camera got stolen pretty soon after he took the job.
Probably by one of those bullies.
Yeah, probably. Still, he worked...
Wait, this is all, like, the Batman backstory?
No.
For how he becomes the Ripper?
That terribly horrible person.
Rip Man. Rifkin, the Rip Man, Ripper.
Yeah. Except he doesn't go fight crime. He does the opposite.
Does crime. He doesn't fight crime. He is crime.
Yeah, pretty much. Still, he worked his butt off to put out the senior yearbook, and then at the end...
You mean he worked his lard ass off.
Okay, yes.
This bum.
Okay, fine. but then, at the end of the year, when they had, like, a big school, had, like, a year-end rap party, he wasn't invited.
Okay.
I know, it's depressing.
Oh, that's like, what's that? Whose book is that? Mindy Kaling's? Everyone's hanging out without me.
Yeah. Literally, they are.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
So, Joel's mother said that this left him devastated, but on the bright side, his parents did get him a car, so he would use his new ride to troll for prostitutes.
His new whip.
Or sex workers, I should say.
Sex workers.
Not call them prostitutes. That's degrading.
No, sex workers, you're right.
First in Hempstead, and then later in Manhattan.
Oh. I think sex workers are... Anywhere you want to find them, really.
Yeah.
Probably
in
both locations.
Mostly Manhattan, he would go.
You find them probably both locations.
So, according to the book From the Mouth of the Monster, Joel's fantasies included some bondage and some rape, as well as a gladiator type thing where two girls would fight to the death.
Do you like gladiator movies? Ever seen a grown man naked?
Yes, I have. Good to know. So
it's from Airplane.
So after seeing Alfred Hitchcock's movie Frenzy, which is loosely based on Jack the Ripper homicides in London.
It is? Have you seen Frenzy?
I haven't seen it.
We should watch Frenzy. I like Alfred Hitchcock.
I do like Alfred Hitchcock as well. My mother said I looked like I had an Alfred Hitchcock.
You profile. Looked like Alfred Hitchcock?
When I was a baby, she said I like had an Alfred Hitchcock profile because I had really chubby cheeks.
You were an old chubby man? You were an old fat-faced man?
I was a baby!
Huh.
Babies have chubby cheeks. Shut up. I was fat.
Oh, and she's like, and she had chubby cheeks. She was, and she took her 13 steps.
I was adorable. Shut up. I was fucking adorable.
Sorry. Oh, wait, 39 steps? What am I thinking of?
That's a musical.
Okay.
I don't think it's Alfred Hitchcock either. Okay, anyway.
What am I thinking of?
I don't know.
The 39 Steps?
Maybe.
What the hell am I thinking of?
The 39 Steps is a musical. Leave it alone.
You leave it alone.
You leave it alone.
I'm leaving nothing alone.
No.
I leave nothing alone.
Put it down.
13.
Charlie.
Step.
We don't need this right now.
It's a bar.
No. Really?
No.
Can you stop?
Yeah.
Can you please stop?
Sure.
Can you put the phone down?
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Do you have ADHD? I'm really not
I
sure.
I might. Do pandemic-induced ADHD? Is that a thing?
It might be iPhone-induced ADHD.
It could be. I have no focus. All right.
All right. Anyway, so after he sees this movie, he's like, oh, you know what? would be fun, strangling prostitutes.
No, that's not the normal.
He didn't start doing it right away. He just was fantasizing about it. Joel didn't actually have much luck with the ladies in real life. Oh. Big surprise. One date he went on in high school ended abruptly when fellow members of his track team trapped him in the gym and pelted him with eggs.
I think he's going to a school full of too many bad kids. How do they torture him this much?
And then another date he took to the local pizza parlor, only to have these same bullies chase them out and force them to hide in a public library.
He went on multiple dates in high school?
Two.
This kid's cool.
Oh, he went on two, I guess.
Better than me.
Two documented dates where he was bullied into submission.
Better man than I. Wait, what did they do to him at the diner?
He went to a local pizza parlor.
A pizza parlor.
And I guess the track team was hanging out there, because I guess it's where, like, the cool kids hang out. And they chased him out of there and then made him hide in a public library.
Mm,
like, hey, babe, let's go to the public library and read some books.
Oh, the old run, lard-ass run thing.
Or, like, go make out in the stacks.
Mm.
Anyway. So, Joel graduated at the bottom of his class.
No, he's smart. I hate this.
In 1977.
He's a smart kid.
And looked forward to college and becoming an adult, convincing himself that things would get better. Nope.
He's got the right attitude.
Wrong again.
That's how, you know, my brother's more optimistic than I am. That's how
that
goes.
Things didn't get better.
I know. Life hasn't gotten better. Take a look around.
He started college at Nassau Community College, but he grew bored and restless, so he would cut his classes all the time.
Nassau Community College, famous long ago.
Sure. So he only managed to really compete. You don't compete a class. You complete a class, that's the thing. He only managed to complete one class in 1997. Or 1977,
1978,
not 97.
Yeah, 77, so we're in the late
70s. Late
70s
here.
Got to be the disco, end of the disco.
I don't know. Must
be that French new wave boom in the 80s.
Okay, so, and then he transfers to the State University at Brockport in the fall of
1978. Hmm.
And there he got involved with a photography club, but still wasn't...
He likes photography.
Yeah, he likes photography. Mm-hmm. Still wasn't doing great academically, so he eventually decides to drop out in 1980.
You can't stay in one place too long.
Yeah. While he was at Brockport, though, he finally was able to land himself a girlfriend.
Were people mean to him there, or that they didn't know him?
So that's the beauty of college. It doesn't say if they were mean to him.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he probably wasn't super popular, but...
The beauty of college is that nobody knows who you are when you first walk in.
Well, the relationship with this girl didn't actually go anywhere, because his girlfriend actually recalled him as being sweet, but always depressed.
has he opened up? Has he told you about the... egging?
Probably not. So after he drops out of Brockport, he moves back in with his parents, like you do, and tried enrolling in classes at Nassau Community College again.
Yeah, but that moving back in with the parents is not anything on him. That's a failing of our society in which college costs way too much money, and we cannot support ourselves after coming out of it.
All right, well, says the guy who went to Carnegie Mellon.
I cannot support myself. Okay. Coming out of college.
All right. Well, that doesn't pan out either. He only completes 12 credits, and then he quits in 1984.
Hmm.
Throughout the rest of the 80s, Joel makes money doing several odd jobs in Long Island, but none of them really last long.
Huh.
He had poor hygiene, excessive absences, and just was generally inept.
Huh.
But
he's smart.
Yeah. In his spare time, when he wasn't working, Joel dreamt about becoming a famous writer.
Uh-oh, that's me.
So he starts churning out this, like, depressing poetry.
And me again.
He moves in and out of his parents' house several times during this time. When he talks about this in an interview later in life, he says, I couldn't put two nickels together.
I can. That's a dime.
Anyway, Most of the money he made actually usually went to sex workers anyway. He wouldn't go trolling for
sex workers. Here's what you do. You stop spending on sex workers. I know it's an industry that needs the money, but you stop spending.
Yeah.
And you save it.
He was actually pretty inept in that area, too. Several ladies of the evening, and they're... this is supposed to say pimps, but it says pumps.
There were too many pumps. Fist pump again? Or fist pump again?
Their pimps would rob his money. No. Like, take all his money. Like a dozen times at least. One sex worker actually even used the same ploy to dupe him twice. She'd like have him pay up front and then just take his money and run away.
His name should be Mark, because that's what he is. He's a Mark.
And so in fall of 1986, Joel's father, Bernard, is diagnosed with prostate cancer.
No, Bernie.
He was already in poor health due to emphysema from heavy smoking.
Heavy smoking,
He smoked a lot,
That's what my grandmother had.
In February 1987, Bernard took a heavy dose of barbiturates and died after being in a coma for four days.
Killed himself?
Basically.
Yeah.
And Joel delivered a moving eulogy at his father's funeral that brought his audience to tears.
Really? Oh, he was a writer, though.
Yeah, so
Don't forget he was a writer.
He was, like, somewhat good at it in that respect. But after his father died, his depression got way worse.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Why did it get worse?
Well, because his father died.
Yes, but didn't he have, like, a
he didn't have a great relationship with him, but he probably still, it's still his dad.
It's still his dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, he was arrested in Hempstead in August of 1987 when he tried soliciting sex from an undercover female police officer.
Oof, that's the risk you run with sex work, because the police are right there.
Yeah. So he just had to pay a fine, and this experience didn't really deter him. In fact, it did the opposite. So in 1988, Joel enrolled in a 2-year horticulture study program at the State College of Technology in Farmingdale, New York.
Plants,
yep. And for the first time in his life, Joel actually succeeded at something and earned himself straight A's.
Oh, right. He's got a green thumb.
For the first two semesters. And
we all forgot.
They rewarded him by giving him this really prestigious internship at the Planting Fields Arboretum. Arboretum?
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 Arboretum.
In Oyster Bay.
Oyster Boy.
Not Oyster Boy.
Oyster. Welcome to Oyster Boy, New York.
Oyster Bay, shut up.
Oyster Boy actually does sound like a Long Island town.
Talking is hard.
Arboretum.
Arboretum, sure. I was like, Arboretum.
Yeah, the Arboretum. Over here is the Arboretum. Over here's the auditorium.
So he was very honored by this appointment, and as an added bonus, Joel took a liking to one of the other lady interns, a pretty young blonde woman.
Do I smell a romance?
No.
Oh.
He followed her around constantly. No. This never got no. up the courage to ask her out.
Oh, boy.
You know something about that, don't you?
That's rough. That's a rough one.
So he imagines, like, this elaborate fantasy affair. Yeah.
Just because it doesn't go anywhere. In his head
that, like, he's having with this woman.
Absolutely.
Just gets really, really frustrated from her lack of interest. And
yeah, you start arguing with someone in your head.
Yeah. You know something about that.
And then they're not part of the conversation. So when you confront them on the argument you're in the middle of, it's not real.
Yeah, so he gets really frustrated that she isn't into him the way he's into her. And then things took a turn for the worst. So in March of 1989, Joel was like, oh, my violent mental images of strangling women are extra intense this month. That's weird. This is when Joel's mother conveniently decided to go on a month-long vacay, leaving little Joelsif all Joelsif? Yeah. All by himself in their East Meadow home. Bad idea. So he goes on a cruise for a date in Manhattan, and he comes along a young woman. He only knew this woman as Susie. She only gave him her first name. He finds her about 10 p.m. Don't talk about that.
Oh, sorry.
So he picks her up, and she gets in the car. But she requests several times that they stop so she can buy drugs. Or do drugs?
She's in there?
Not sure. I don't know. He's paying her.
Oh, he's a sex worker.
Yeah. I said date in quotes.
I missed that part.
Yeah.
You said it in quotes? I'm not... You didn't say it in quotes.
Well, date is in quotes when I wrote it down.
Oh, I'm not reading the thing.
All right, well... All these women that he's picking up are sex workers. He's paying them. Okay.
So she wanted to stop at all her local haunts.
To buy drugs or do drugs. Crack, specifically, I guess.
Oh, cocaine. That white stuff.
Yeah.
That white stuff.
So when they get back to Joel's parents' house, they have listless sex. Okay.
That might be the worst description of sex I've ever heard.
Yeah. And Susie's like, okay, I need to buy more drugs now. And Joel's like, what? I took you like...
And then we had listless sex. That was...
He's like, what?
Is that it?
He's like, I just took you to like 5 different places to buy drugs. How could you possibly need more drugs?
I'm out of gas. Can you pay for my gas?
So...
You have all my money.
This angered him.
You've robbed me twice.
Yeah. That's a different girl. I think. I mean.
Sorry.
Yeah. This angered him so much that he picked up a souvenir howitzer shell and beat her senseless.
No.
I don't even know what a howitzer shell is.
A howitzer shell. A howitzer would be a military, like a weapon. Isn't it like a
gun, maybe?
Grenade or?
I don't know. We'll look it up later. You know what a howitzer shell is.
A howitzer is a
email
gun,
killer pillow talk.
And the shell would be the bullet shell.
All right. Email killerpillowtalk@gmail.com.
Yeah, email killerpillowtalk. Just
tell me
about
what a howitzer shell is, because I didn't research that.
Tell us what the howitzer we're talking
about. We'll find out and then tell you next time. All right. Anyway. He claims that he lost control and stopped only when he was tired. But little did Joel know that Susie was still alive, so... When he went to move her body, she bit him on the finger.
Oh, okay. You know what? We looked it up.
What?
It is from a tank, like from a howitzer military cannon gun, basically. And it's a big, large shell, like the, you know, how you would fire at an enemy in war. It's a big item.
Okay, well, I don't know what that was doing.
It's a decoration.
I guess it was on
the
wall.
He's not during the war. He's not in the war. It's a decoration.
Yeah, I guess so.
But wait, she was alive?
She was alive. She bit his finger.
Bloody and shit?
Yeah.
No.
I wonder if he thought she was a zombie. I don't know. That's just from, because we just finished Search Party. But
Spoilers.
Anyway. So then he finally got a chance to fulfill his lifelong fantasy, and he strangled her to death, sadly.
I don't like it. Yeah. You know, the story was going, and I was able to make fun of it. Now we're at this part.
I know.
And
it's very sad. She didn't deserve that. Poor Susie. And I don't like that she also has the same name as my dog. So that makes it even harder for me to say this. Okay. When she was dead, he... wrestled her into a trash bag, cleaned up the evidence of his escapades, and I guess this was all happening in his living room.
This is at the mom's house when she's away?
She's not there. And then he falls
asleep.
When
the mom is away, then...
Joel will play.
Lard ass will play.
So he falls asleep for a few hours, like, oh, I'm just gonna go to bed now, like any other day. And then once he wakes up, he carried Susie's body to the basement, later on top of the washer and dryer, kind of like a, you know, operating table situation, and dismembered her with an X-Acto knife.
That's a long process.
Yuck.
Doing anything with an X-Acto knife is a long process.
I was like, yeah, that's gross.
You gotta change the blade multiple times or else you're gonna have hamster chewed edges. And
Yeah, I don't know how you would dismember a body with an X-Acto knife. I don't want to think about it.
It's it's not quick.
I wouldn't imagine.
There's a much quicker one.
And much like Joel with the X-Acto knife, we're going to be here a while. Well, that's why we're separating this into two parts because, you know.
Which we haven't done in a bit.
It's a lot.
And that's our podcast thing. We do a two-parter.
And it's a lot, so I don't want to kind of.
It wasn't deal with a lot. Like, I was okay with everything, and now that we're in the murder part of it, I'm like,
this is only the beginning.
Exacto. I'd like to leave.
I mean, I thought that was gross too. I was like, of course, Joel just thought this was the same as dissecting a frog in biology class.
No.
According to him, that was like something that he said. It was like kind of like dissecting a frog. Which I'm like, ew, gross. Not okay.
That's called compartmentalizing.
Yeah. So, in order to deter authorities from identifying the body, he removes her teeth and her fingers. Ew.
Wait, an X-Acto knife or a box cutter? It said X-Acto.
It said X-Acto knife.
That's bad press for X-Acto, which is the company that makes
box cutters?
X-Acto knives.
Yeah, I don't know how.
The blade is made by X-Acto.
Anyway, so he removes her teeth and her fingers, and then he shoves her head into a paint can after he cuts it off. Yeah, it's not pretty.
The teeth and the fingers, I get, right? That's the identification.
Yeah, but he's still like, puts her head in a paint can, and then the rest of her body goes back into the garbage bags, and he takes it out to his mom's car.
No.
Yeah.
You know, the bags leak.
Yeah. So then he drives the bags across state lines into New Jersey.
Where did this happen? New York. Yeah.
Where I assume all New Yorkers
are taught. I forgot, Long Island.
Where I assume all New Yorkers are taught to go dump their so-called garbage.
New Jersey.
Yes.
New Jersey.
I
thought that is where we dump garbage.
I don't know. I just know that whenever.
But aren't you from New Jersey?
Yes. And why I know that's where, like, whenever I used to tell New Yorkers I was from New Jersey, and they're like, oh, I have to stop talking to you now. Because you're from New Jersey. Just kidding.
And when people from New York City meet people who are from Long Island, they go, oh, I have to stop talking to you now.
Yes, unless they're from Long Island, I guess. I don't know. It depends on who you ask whether Long Island is considered part of New York City or not. Anyway, so
they're connected by trains, but in the same way New Jersey is connected.
All right, so he leaves her head and legs in the woods near Hopewell, New Jersey.
Wait, that's not where you're from?
No. Okay. I'm from Hope, New Jersey, not Hopewell. It's a different place.
Oh.
Not to be confused with New Hope. Also a different place. Anyway, it's a whole thing. Alright. And then he returns.
New Hope, Hopewell, Hope.
Yeah. Oh. Hope is where the land of make-believe is.
Mm-hmm.
And in case you haven't seen the really bad commercials on cable access, that is a very, very tiny amusement park. That, like, we used to get in for free on the 4th of July. Ah, so fun.
Sweet.
Good times. Anyway. So, he goes, and then he returns to Manhattan, and he dumps the rest of her in the East River, assuming, she's never going to be found in there. Oh, how wrong he was.
Yeah, the East River. Not the worst thing to be dumped in the East River.
I mean, they didn't find the East River stuff, but in March of 1989, a member of the Hopewell Valley Golf Club, you know, playing a little round.
Quick 18.
A quick 18 slices his ball into the nearby woods.
Four.
Along the 7th green, and when he went to go look for it, he found a lot more than his ball.
Oof.
He found a head in a paint can.
Talk about a slice.
He's never going to play golf again. I would be traumatized by that. I don't think I'd want to play golf ever again.
He's like looking. Do I have to play it as it lies? Do I have to hit it for him?
Oh, gosh. That would be.
It's in her mouth. Do I?
No, I don't think it was in her mouth. Oh. But it was in the woods. Yeah. So I guess police were called to the scene. And they had a sketch artist do a rendering of Susie.
Can I get a drop?
You're still doing golf jokes?
Yeah.
Okay. So they did a sketch artist rendering of the head.
No.
So they could compare it to a list of 700 existing missing person cases.
No.
And unfortunately, Susie's case remained unsolved.
Did it come up? No, right?
No. Mm. They didn't know. They couldn't identify her.
Was she did they have her records in the...
No. I don't know. Like,
she's
a
sex worker. Has she been arrested for?
I mean, they didn't know her last name. I don't think it's her identity or official identity is ever found. Mm. But he just remembers her as Susie, and that's the only. That's just how she's referred.
I'm jumping ahead of it, but he's alive.
Yes. Unfortunately, Susie, her case remains unsolved until Joel gets captured and finally confesses to all these crimes later on. But anyway, getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
So at some point...
That's a little teaser for next episode.
Okay. At some point, when he's following the news, he finds out that, a head was found.
Been following the news.
A head was found in Hopewell in a golf course. And... I guess they
head was found the other day in Hopewell Golf Course. Here's the golfer. Cost me 3 strokes.
Okay. And at this point, Joel finds out that Susie was HIV positive, which causes him to have a massive panic attack. Ooh, but
because now he's got HIV.
You're a murderer, so you deserve it.
So what, he has AIDS now?
I don't know if he does for sure. Because, I mean, it doesn't say whether he wore a condom or not. I'm assuming if you're having sex with that many sex workers, you would be.
He might, yeah.
You know, he's also kind of stupid.
he's smart.
He's smart academic, not academically, but he's smart
IQ-ologically.
In some capacity, but
if
not
I can
always
use such a big word.
Not always smart in certain things. I don't know.
Not street smart.
Not street smart, yeah. Really. So after he kills Susie, he waits over a year to claim his next victim.
Mm.
In his confession, he's a little bit vague on the dates, so different sources place his next murder about 14 months after.
And we're in the 80s now at this point?
No, we're in late 1990 at this point.
Oh, late 1990.
This time, the victim
is... Wait, almost 2000?
1990.
Oh, late the year 1990.
1990.
I was right. Yeah, the late 80s. Early 1990s.
Yes. Right. This time the victim is sex worker Julie Blackbird.
Is Blackbird her real last name?
I don't know. That might just be her.
That's
her
a nice stage name.
Yeah, that might be
her. Hi, Julie Blackbird.
I don't know if that's her real name or not.
It's my friend, Robin Canary.
And Joel says that he chose her because of her pseudo Madonna look. So maybe she had like the, I don't know. The
scrubs.
Oh, no, the crucifix and the hair.
And the fishnets.
The cone boobs.
And the makeup.
That sort of thing. Like a virgin? I don't know.
And Madonna can still get it.
She can. Anyway. So, at this point, his mother is out of town again. So, of course, he's like, come on back to my place in East Meadow. And she does, because bad idea. Mm.
Wish I knew more Madonna
they spend
songs.
The night together like you do when you're paying someone to have sex with you. And only in the morning, instead of offering her a nice cup of coffee and a scone, he recalled completely bugging out and beat Blackbird with a heavy table leg before he strangled her. I don't know why he's just got a like random table leg.
I hope he didn't rip the leg off a table.
I don't know why. There's
that's some
a table
strength,
leg,
though.
Or like that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But
why did he freak out? Bug out?
I don't know. He like freaked
why
out.
Why was he bugging?
I have no idea.
What is this clueless? Why was he bugging?
I don't know. He just says he completely bugged out. It's very weird. I don't know where he gets these like sudden bouts of anger from.
Well, I think I do. He was bullied mercifully by everybody. Mercilessly.
But I was bullied in school and I didn't start murdering people.
Yeah, so that's a good thing. Some people have this predisposition.
Ugh, I don't think that's an excuse. Anyway, he reminds me of one of these like incel guys. Was like, well, women wouldn't have sex with me, so it's their fault. I'm like, no, it's definitely yours. So, yeah, he... briefly thought at this point, of having sex with her dead body in like a way to be like an homage to Ted Bundy, but apparently that grossed him out. So
that grossed
that
him out.
Grossed him
oh,
out.
Oh, that was the line.
That's the
okay,
line.
Okay, well, good.
He,
good to know he has boundaries.
That's where he crossed.
No,
the
I
line
love there. Knowing that he knows himself.
He knows
he's
himself well
boundaries.
Enough that he won't have sex with a dead body.
He's a self-realized man.
So
you know what? Some people it takes years of therapy for that to happen, but. This guy knows himself.
Yeah, place. So, and this time he decides, I'm not going to screw up the body dump like I did last time. So, he goes to the local Home Depot or wherever, I don't know, what's a 1990s, like, hardware store.
Heckinger's.
Heckinger, sure. And he buys some...
That was a local one from Philadelphia.
Sure.
You know where my parents live now?
Hello?
Hello. You know where my parents live now?
Sure.
There was a Heckinger's there.
Okay. Great.
In the 90s.
Super. I don't know what Heckinger's is.
It's probably a real niche. It's probably not a real store.
I don't know what this is at all.
Yeah.
So he buys some cement and a large mortar pan.
No way to screw this up.
So then he returns home, cuts up Julie's body like he did with Susie's, and places her head, arms, and legs in buckets and weighs them down with concrete. And then he put her torso in a milk crate.
No.
Yeah.
Give it to the milkman?
No. He then,
I'm done with these.
Then he drives...
Do you recycle?
Yeah, but then he drives into Manhattan and he dumps Julie's head and torso in the East River. Along with where he, that's probably, I don't know, the same place where he dumped Susie.
Contrary to what most New Yorkers think, the East River is not a trash can.
I know, okay? But there's a lot of dead bodies in there.
Gosh, it flows into the goddamn ocean.
Okay, and then he also dumps her weighted down arms and legs into a Brooklyn barge canal.
Gowanus.
Probably.
Probably.
Hey,
what other Brooklyn barge canal is there?
I don't know. That's probably where he went.
Seems like a Gowanus thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before it got to be trendy, it was a dumping ground.
Yeah, the water is still a dumping ground. But bodies. It's, yeah.
So, and
the area is trendy.
Yeah, the area is trendy now.
The water is still bad.
There may be remains in there.
Yeah.
So, sadly, Julie's remains were never recovered. The only reason we know what happened to her is because...
this guy's still alive.
He eventually confesses when he gets caught. And he also kept her diary as a souvenir, so there's entries in there of, like, I guess, what happened to her before she died.
Ugh.
Not like, I mean, not the dismembering and stuff, but, you know.
She wrote about the dismembering? No. As I write this, I'm just a hand.
No. Oh, gosh, that's terrible.
As I write this, I do not have the other one.
She's just like Anna's family hand. Oh, that's so sad.
Okay.
That's terrible.
That's awful. Why do you make me come up with funny things about this?
Like I said,
it's hard.
It's a sad story.
Nobody's making me. It's hard.
Sorry, Julie. Gone too soon. So at this point, he's like, I guess, I'm hooked on murdering. And so he's ready to kill again pretty soon. So,
Hooked on Murdering, his autobiography.
Yeah. Joel Rifkin, Hooked on Murdering.
So, on the hook for murder.
Yeah, so in April 1991, he starts his own landscaping business. Because, you know, like you do. So he starts renting space at a local nursery so he can, like, store his equipment. But he wasn't very successful at this business because he frequently complained to his landlord that he was losing all his customers, and by the summertime he was falling behind on his rent.
Oh, really? Oh, no, but he started this business from the ground up.
Well, no. Well, at this point I think he wasn't really focusing much time on his business. He was more focused on murdering people, so at this...
The landscaping was a front.
It didn't really get
it
done.
It was a shell.
Yeah.
For murder.
Yeah, he started...
Shell for murder.
That sounds like a Lifetime movie.
On the shell for murder.
That sounds like a...
That's my Lifetime autobiography.
Okay. All right, so he starts using his job site as a temporary way station for the bodies of his victims. You know, like you do.
Like a truck way station.
But it's not for trucks. Yeah. On July 13th, 1991, Joel goes out to find his next target, and he comes across 31-year-old Barbara Jacobs. Barb.
Rip Barb.
Yeah.
Justice for Barb.
Justice for Barb, indeed. Mm. She was a sex worker as well, as an addict, and she had been arrested for car theft as well, so she was dabbling in that too. Still, she doesn't go around murdering women, so I already like her better than him.
I was going to say Barbara Jacobs, two Jewish first names.
Yeah. So he picks her up, brings her back to the East Meadow for the sex. And when Barbara falls asleep, he beats her over the head with that same favorite table leg he used to kill Juicy.
Oh, did he wash it?
And again, I don't know why this man has those table legs lying around his house.
Somewhere there's a table that's just fallen over.
It's no legs. It's just two legs.
Just the top it's of just a table. Over.
It's just a little ramp
God
now.
Damn it. It's just a little ramp, yeah.
How do any of his tables stand up is what I'm wondering.
Priceless artifacts are being used to
kill women.
Kill women, and then also table legs.
Yeah.
What are you doing to me?
Zoe then,
you know, we need to go to bed at this.
I know.
Jesus.
Zoe then finishes Barbara off by strangling her, like, you know, like he usually does. It's, you know, it's not great. It's sad.
And we skip this part.
And, now at this point, Rifkin, I guess, had his fill of dismembering women's bodies and decided to wrap poor Barbara in plastic and fold her into a cardboard box. Like he's packing.
And put that box in the East River.
Like he's packing her up like an Amazon package.
no, don't invoke Amazon into this.
And then he puts her in the back of Mummy Rifkin's Toyota pickup.
Well, at least it was a pickup.
Yeah. He drives to the Hudson River and dumps the box into the water next to a cement plant.
The Hudson this time?
Yeah.
Stick with the East, boy. Don't taint both rivers.
Yeah, well, hours after he does this, a bunch of firefighters are doing a training exercise and stumble across her body. And
hours after he does it.
Yeah. At this point, Joel's like, whatever, I don't care.
Hours after he does it, Sully Sullenberger lands a plane.
No.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure that didn't happen in 1990.
Mid-2000s.
Yeah, so no. But the coroner rules Barbara's cause of death is a drug overdose and...
And a beating.
Her unidentified body is then buried in a Potter's Field cemetery, so...
Potter's Field.
And a Potter's Field is a place where they bury bodies of people that they don't know who they are.
Right.
Fun fact.
Washington Square Park.
It used to be a Potter's Field. If you're there at night,
and you see ghosts,
it's because you're walking on a bunch of dead bodies.
It was an old graveyard.
There's a bunch of bodies underneath the park. It's great.
Yeah.
Fun times. All right.
New York's a pretty haunted place.
Yeah. I was going to be a tour guide for a haunted tour. I was going to be a haunted tour guide, and I was really excited about that, but then it never happened because I maybe took too long to get my video into them.
It's okay. You found work.
I know, but that would have been a cool job.
It would have been, yeah. See, it comes around this year. They'll be doing in-person ones.
Anyway. Yeah, so she's unidentified until Joel eventually is caught and then admits to killing her. So on September 1st, 1991, at around 11 p.m., 22-year-old crack addict and Long Island native Mary Ellen DeLuca leaves her group of friends to go score her next fix.
Mary Ellen, come back!
And then instead of scoring her next fix, she finds Joel Jamaica Avenue in Queens and agrees to get in the car with him.
Wait, Jamaica Avenue in Queens?
Yep.
Now we're in my neck of the woods.
Bad idea, Mary Ellen! Get out of the car! Well, I thought, like,
I love how you're yelling at her.
I know.
She's already dead.
Honey. I know, but I want to tell her no. She had such a future. I don't know. I mean, it's sad. So yeah, they drive around until sunrise, stopping at various locations.
To get drugs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Rifkin gives her money to buy drugs.
That's his MO.
Yeah. And then they end up checking into a cheap motel.
Wait, he pays for the drugs? This guy's bad with money.
He's very bad with money. That's why he lives with his parents.
That's terrible.
Or not money. His parents, his mother. I don't know what happened to his sister. They don't say anything about
that. I thought you were going to say his father. He died.
I don't know what happened to Jan.
Oh, Jan. Yeah, Jan's the middle child. This is the Brady Bunch.
I don't know. I don't think she's
young. Jan's the oft-forgotten one.
Anyway.
Justice for Jan.
So, they get to this cheap motel, and Mary Ellen first turns Joel down when he's like, oh, have sex with me.
And nothing.
And she's like, no, I want more dope. And he's like, no, I'm not giving it to you. And then she finally does give in, and only she complains the entire time. So...
We've all been there.
At one point, after they have sex, Joel asks her if she wanted to die. And according to his account, she said yes. So he was like, "All right, well, then I don't think I'm going to kill you."
He was asking like a serious question, like, "Hey, do you want to die?"
And then he recalled later on that she
didn't say yeah.
She quote unquote did nothing and just accepted it.
He said, "See, consent is such a you have to. You need a verbal
yes. I would like
that, a please. No and no answer, like a non-answer is still not consent."
Yeah, so he said her murder was one of the weird ones.
No, they've all been...
They're all weird. I know. He has a very strange idea of whatever weird things are.
It's cut and dry. You need a verbal...
Yes, I would like you to strangle me to death.
And I don't think anybody's going to answer yes to that.
There are some people that do like being strangled or possibly being strangled.
And more power to him, but not to death.
Isn't that how that David Carradine guy got died?
It could be. You probably know more. Bill? From what?
I don't know. There's
the actual actor?
I think so.
Autoerotic association.
That's it. There you are. Taking a little too far. So anyway. So after he kills Mary Ellen, he's in a little bit of a pickle because... he's in a motel room with a dead girl's body. And it's broad daylight outside, so it's not like he'd just be like, me and my friend are going to check out now.
Hmm.
You can't just waltz out of there dragging a dead body. Be like, it's fine.
It's very hard to waltz with a dead body.
She was asleep, and I'm carrying her to the car now.
Been there.
So he takes a tip from his favorite Hitchcock movie, Frenzy. And goes out to buy an inexpensive steamer trunk.
I thought you were going to say he takes it from Rear Window and looks out the window the whole time.
No. So he gets back to the room. He gets the steamer trunk. He stuffs Mary Ellen's body into it.
What's a steamer trunk?
You know, like the thing we have in the living room.
That's a steamer trunk?
Kind of.
It's big enough.
And yeah, so then he leaves the motel and he drives upstate to Orange County and leaves her body. Sands the trunk, because he spent money on that, at a rest stop outside Cornwall over by West Point.
But he kept the trunk.
He kept the trunk.
That's like me, lugging this trunk around from place to place.
So, Mary Ellen's body is eventually found on October 1st, 1991, naked with no ID. And between that and the rate of decomp, it was impossible to identify her or her cause of death, so... Mm. Yeah, she's also unidentified.
Strangulation?
Yeah, but at that point, when she's found, she's like, the decomposition is like pretty bad, because that's like a month after she was murdered. And one September night, after he kills Mary Ellen, he picks up a 31-year-old Korean sex worker named Yoon Lee, whom he'd been with before, like, I guess he's like a repeat customer, you know. Coming back for more. And
it's nice to have the regular.
Yeah. She actually happened to be the second woman he propositioned within an hour. And when he couldn't rise to the occasion.
Really?
Yeah. When she was going to work on him, he struck her suddenly and strangled her. She mouthed something about making a big mistake. This is the first time. He actually killed someone that he had known beforehand. And he actually almost felt bad about it.
Oh.
He later,
a little bit of remorse?
He later,
is that a little bit of remorse in your eye?
Yeah. He later recalled that he thought he liked her. He's like, I thought I liked her. And it's
he probably did, you little weirdo.
It's like, I was like, apparently not enough, because he wedged her in the same trunk that he used for Mary Ellen and dumped her in the East River.
Now I hate this trunk.
Yeah, I know.
Now there's a pattern, and I hate this trunk.
It's a terrible trunk. The weird thing is, like, he didn't really, like, his MO was kind of erratic. He didn't, like, always kill. Like, he would go get sex workers pretty much every night, and then he wouldn't kill all of them. He would just, like, see, spared most of them, but obviously these ones were not so lucky.
Yeah, it sounds like he used a lot of sex workers.
Yeah.
And did not kill most of them.
Yeah, I mean, that was
so
like,
far
with the case
five,
with,
right?
with like Yoon Lee, she's number five.
But he probably has sex with many more sex workers.
Yeah. Anyway, so her body, Yun Lee's body, is found on September 23rd, 1991, just 8 days before Mary Ellen's. It was floating past Randall's Island at the Harlem River's mouth.
No.
Fortunately for Yun Lee, her ex-husband was able to identify her, so she didn't suffer the fate of an unmarked grave like the others. She was able to be buried.
That's good. Ex-husband, we don't have time to get into.
No.
When are we stopping this episode?
Soon.
At the end of this? And then there's so much more?
There's a sixth person and then we're stopping. Or sixth and seventh and then we're stopping.
But then there's more.
There's more after that.
And then there's more.
Okay. Yes, we're going. It's almost done. Okay. Rifkin's sixth. Revenge of the Sith.
Revenge of the Sith victim.
He didn't remember the name of maybe he never even knew. I don't know. He killed her right before Christmas in 1991. Sadly, he picked her up on West 46th Street in Manhattan and wound up choking her to death while she went down on him.
Oof.
He described that event as very quick.
See, that's the worst way to go. Having like in the middle of sex with Joel.
Yeah, that's what she said.
In the middle of sex with Mr. Rifkin, if I may. Please, Mr. Rifkin was his father. No, in the middle of sex with Mr. Rifkin is the worst way to go.
Isn't that a Matt Damon movie?
In the middle of sex with Mr. Rifkin?
No, that's The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Oh, and I'm thinking of The Incredible Mr. Rifkin.
Anyway, after his quickie, he drove back to Long Island with the body slumped over next to him.
Sit up.
I guess in the passenger seat.
Wear your seatbelt.
Click
it or tick it.
Then he hid her in his workspace underneath a tarp.
You go under here.
And then he drove to a recycling plant in Westbury, Long Island, I guess, where he used to work at part-time, and he borrowed a 55-gallon oil drum.
Oh.
So he put the Jane Doe in the oil drum and then drove her to the South Bronx, where there were a lot of junk yards at the time. So
we'll just leave her here.
Yeah, he took her out, rolled the oil drum with her body.
Yeah.
Into the East River again. And when he goes to leave, he actually gets stopped by a patrolman who's like,
Wait, he put the barrel in the East River?
Yeah.
Like he put her in a drum and that's in the East River?
Yeah.
So she's over the East River in like a barrel now.
Yeah.
It's like floating down the East River.
Well, I don't know. I probably sank, I guess.
Oh, it sank.
I'm assuming. I don't know.
Huh.
I don't know if oil drums would, like, because, I mean, I don't know how heavy an oil drum is. Anyway, so the patrolman stops him and is like, you're dumping things illegally in the East River. And he's like, no, I was just collecting junk.
And then this is when the police get him.
No.
What?
So they let him go, which is a warning, because...
No, he wasn't just junk collecting.
I know, but they don't have anything to be like, oh, okay, you can go. So
I'll tell you what he was collecting. Murder.
Yeah. So since this oil drum method of his worked so well the first time with the Jane Doe, he bought more of them to use as, like, coffins for his...
No need to drum up a new plan.
Huge future victims. So on December 26th, 1991...
Boxing Day
in Bayshore, Long Island. Joel picks up Lorraine Orvieto.
Does he celebrate Christmas?
He's Jewish.
He's very Jewish.
I think he's Jewish. Yeah.
He's very Jewish.
Obviously, why he's going out on Christmas and picking up all these women. So he picks up Lorraine Orvieto. She was a 20-year.
Back to the future.
Can I talk?
She was 20.
No. Oh. She was a 28-year-old manic depressive who actually self-medicated with cocaine, but her habit got to be really expensive, so she...
So she needed someone to pay for it all, and that's where our buddy Joel...
Well, that's how she turned to sex work to afford to...
Oh, she turned to sex work.
Keep up with her habit.
You think most of these women are doing turn to sex work because of their...
I mean, in the scenes.
Habits? Like, they all seem to do drugs.
A lot of them do drugs, yeah. Uh-huh. So, yeah. This is a big departure because she was actually, like, a cheerleader in high school who grew up in, like, a very affluent Long Island home. So. Shoot. So it's not like she came from, like, she's not like she came from, like, you know, a terrible family.
Yeah, that sucks.
But after picking up Lorraine, so after he picks up Lorraine, he parks his car in a nearby schoolyard next to a fence, and he strangles her while she's performing oral sex again. He really doesn't like oral sex, I feel like. If he keeps killing women while they're...
Yeah, you know...
Like, it's
that's what's bad. Getting to me. Why are you... I guess, like, that's the way to... That's the way to have the woman in a vulnerable spot.
But... Yeah, her neck's right there, I guess. I don't know.
God.
Easy positioning.
I hate this.
You
know what? Let's not.
Anyway, after he strangles her...
No, not anyway.
Not anyway, no. He discovers that she's HIV positive, too, and he finds a bottle of her AZT in her purse.
The medicine they used to give you for AIDS.
Mm-hmm. And he kept the pills, also her jewelry, as well as her ID as a souvenir. Yeah. Creepy.
Is he HIV positive at this point?
It never says whether he is or not.
Because he's now had a couple scares.
He's had a couple scares with it, but I mean, they didn't have penetrative sex, so...
Oh, right. But yeah. Mel?
I don't think you can get it from just, like, oral sex.
Hmm.
Anyway, so then he drives back to his landscaping lot, does the whole oil drum thing, and drives her to Brooklyn.
Oh,
and drops her in the Coney Island Creek.
Ah, that's like close.
Yeah, she was found by a fisherman on July 11th,
1992. I got a big one.
Ironically, 2 months prior to when her family decided it was time to file a missing persons report. They obviously missed her a lot. Not really.
Again, he's on the hook for murder.
But of course, that's a serial killer's perfect victim. One that no one notices is gone.
Now say it again. Her 2 months after she was gone... Her parents, her family filed a report?
2 months after they found her body, they filed a report. So I guess they didn't know who it was at first, but then, like, eventually they found out. It's not really clear how that ended. At least not in the article that I was getting research from.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm going to stop. Because there's more, but I think that's
more?
A lot.
There's more of this bullshit?
That's already a lot, so I feel like we need to break it up a little bit.
Why is there more of this bullshit?
A little bit. He was a bad guy. He's a bad guy.
And what we're all leading to is we know this from the fact that he speaks.
Yeah, he confessed to it.
And he's alive.
Yeah, in prison.
Oh, we'll get there.
We'll get there eventually.
It's a doozy of a one to give me on my birthday. You know, I didn't have a good birthday, and you're making the celebrations worse.
I know, it's a lot. That's why I had to break it up into two, because I was like, it's a lot for me, too.
Anyway, happy Valentine's Day. There must be a better segue.
There is probably.
Must be a better transition between...
Yeah.
Between that. From that.
If a guy offers to pick you up and drive you around in his car and buy you drugs, don't do it.
Don't give him oral sex. Yeah.
I mean, I guess.
I mean, do what you have to do, but also...
Also, just don't get into a strange guy's car in general.
Right?
Ever.
Right?
Ever, ever, ever. Women.
Right?
Don't do it.
Men don't do it.
Men don't do it. Nobody get into a strange man's car, all right?
Especially not these days. Coronavirus going on.
And if you are, happen to be a woman who's fallen on hard times and is, you know, gotten to the area of sex work, like, protect yourself. Be vigilant. Carry pepper spray. You know.
It's a rough business.
It's a rough business. It's really rough. I feel bad.
And I hate making jokes.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, and that's hard to make. It's always hard because those people, those women, are always the ones that like get it the worst because like they think, oh, they're disposable. No one cares about them. And I was like, but you know, they had families and lives and things like that.
You hate to see it. You hate to.
Yeah.
Hate to be a, you know, privy to the fact that this happens.
Yeah. So I'm not. Again, I feel bad for the victims, and I want to talk about them as well. You know, so they were people. Some of them we don't actually know the identity of, but they were people, and I think about them, and I hope they're in a better place now. Yeah. So there we are.
All right. So all right. That's it.
That's it for now.
I guess we're going to come back to this story.
We're going to come back to this story.
I'd rather not, but...
I know.
You're making me, so...
I'm making you. Sorry. Yeah. Well, I figured we haven't really done one that's, like, in New York, so this is, like...
This one's close to home.
Close to home.
We've been to Long Island.
We've been to Long Island. We've been to Coney Island.
You went a lot last year.
We've seen the East River before.
I almost work on Long Island.
The Hudson River, I know where that is.
I know where the East River is. I know where the Hudson River is. I guess I know where Coney Island Creek is, right?
I didn't know Coney Island had a creek.
I guess I'm pointing to it right now.
That's the television.
Okay. But if you look past the television, through the wall, up the street...
I don't have my x-ray glasses on right now, so... I'll take your word for it.
Well, the ocean's there. And the ocean's there.
And over there. I thought that was the bathroom.
You know what? You're not thinking far enough ahead, and that's why we have to stop this episode.
I'm very tired. I think I should go to sleep now. I think I'm very tired.
Oh, you can go to sleep after this?
Probably.
Oh, cool.
Just because I'm that tired.
Oh, cool. Great. I'll be up, but you go to sleep. Go ahead.
Okay, great. All right. Well, good night, everyone, and we'll be back soon with the rest of this story, just so we didn't have like a 2-hour podcast.
Yeah, what am I supposed to say at the end of these? Good night, Charlie.
Say good night, Charlie.
Good night, Charlie.